The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. I'd like to start this time telling a story that is in a book by Bhante Gunaratnam. And as an aside, I'll say two things. Bhante is an epithet. It's a name that you would just call a monastic. But this person, he's kind of adopted that as his first name when he comes in America, because most people didn't understand what Bhante was. But if you ever meet a monastic, you can just greet him as Bhante or her. I'm not sure about nuns, actually, if they use that. And one little thing I'll say about Bhante Gunaratana is that he's from Sri Lanka and was ordained as a young person. And then he's writing this book after having been a monk for like 50 years or something. One last thing I'll say about Bhante Gunaratana is he's the author of a number of books, including probably the first Dharma book that I read that I felt may have been the first Dharma book. And I was like, wow. Wow, it just kind of knocked my socks off type of book. 8 Mindful Steps to Happiness. So just an aside, if you're interested, this doesn't mean it'll work for you, but that was a book for me that really kind of just, I don't know, lit something up inside of me. So Bhante Gunaratana tells a story that he started a monastery and a practice center in rural West Virginia. Still there. It's about 2 hours west of Washington, D.C. And he has this practice of going for a walk every day, a long walk. And they had a neighbor who seemed to be unfriendly. But Bhante, while he was walking, that whenever he saw the neighbor driving by, would always wave. And in his mind, Bhante would be sending loving kindness to this person. But the man in the truck, as he drove by, only frowned. But Bhante wasn't thwarted. For I don't know how many times a week, or whether it was daily, or how often it was, but every time that Bhante saw him, he would wave, and every time would be a frown in response. And then Bhante writes that about after a year of this going on, a miracle happened. The man lifted one of his fingers off of the steering wheel, kind of an acknowledgement. Still, Bhante would always wave and wish have loving kindness for him. Then apparently after another year, it got so the man would lift 4 fingers off the steering wheel. Still, Bhante is waving and smiling and wishing him loving kindness, goodwill. And then finally, one time, the man puts his hand out the window and waves, right? This is after years, right? And Bhante feels like, wow, this loving kindness is really working. It's fantastic. He feels excited and feels good inside. Then not too long after the waving incident, that Bhante is going on one of his walks and on these forest roads, and he finds that this man is parked on the side of the road, just sitting in the driver's seat having a cigarette. I mean, it doesn't say why the man was there. So Bhante goes up to talk to him. And first they just talk about the weather, but then Bhante writes that this man's story starts to unfold. He starts to talk a little bit about himself. And he shares with Bhante that actually a number of years ago he was in a terrible, terrible accident, had broken almost every bone in his body, and all he could do was lift one finger. And it was years before he could take many fingers off and before he could take his whole hand off. This is an interesting story for quite a few reasons, right? We can imagine that Bhante, he was thinking like, oh, the loving kindness is working. Maybe it was working. Maybe this man was just healing. But Bhante, he wasn't thwarted, right? He didn't stop by giving loving kindness, even though those early years, it felt like there wasn't any response. He was just getting a frown or maybe just one finger off the steering wheel. And it's interesting that also Bhante, when he writes the story, he describes this person as being unfriendly. Maybe he wasn't unfriendly. You know, he just wasn't able to respond in a way that was expected. So we can use loving kindness practice as a way to soften our hearts, kind of quiet the mind a little bit and soften our hearts so that we can, it helps support or helps create the conditions, so that we can create the conditions so that we give people the benefit of the doubt. We don't naturally assume that they're unfriendly. There's often things that we don't know that are happening behind the story. There's a bigger picture, right? All of us have, all of our actions take place in the context of our lives, and we often don't know people's lives. So loving kindness practice is a way for us to more naturally incline the mind towards goodwill, towards others, rather than assuming the worst. Even though Bhante, in this case, had thought that the person was unfriendly. But I also like the story that Bhante, he was continuing his wishing of goodwill towards this person, even though he wasn't getting encouragement or wasn't getting necessarily the outcomes that one would expect, that if you wave and say hi, he wasn't stopped by that. So that's the second thing from the story that I'm taking out of this, is that, you know, we can incline our minds, open our hearts, even if we're not getting the immediate response or the particular outcomes that we're expecting, or it's not taking the shape that we think it should take. So for these happy hours, we do loving kindness practice. This idea that loving kindness practice can incline the mind, soften the heart in a way that brings some spaciousness, some ease to ourselves. And with the recognition that whatever we incline our mind towards is more likely to occur. I think all of us have this experience, right? If you are, I know I certainly have, that if I'm watching a movie that has a lot of profanity in it, I find myself like saying four-letter words as I'm walking out of the movie. Just, you know, kind of what you're exposed to and what your mind is thinking about. So we do loving kindness practice as a way to create the conditions for loving kindness to arise. So in a moment, I'll lead us in some loving kindness practice. We'll start with doing loving kindness towards a benefactor. That is, we're going to start where it's easiest. And the idea being that a benefactor is somebody who has helped you, supported you, encouraged you in your life, inspired you. And somebody that for whom it's easy for you to feel love or care, warmth and respect. Often it's best to have an uncomplicated relationship, to choose somebody for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. And if you don't have somebody in your life or somebody that doesn't come to mind, again, the objective here is to find easy, where it's easy to soften our hearts. Then a number of people and some Dharma teachers use kittens, puppies, little other beings, babies, something that it's easy for you to feel loving kindness toward. Sometimes people will use religious leaders, spiritual leaders, somebody they feel inspired by, so that they can send loving kindness, goodwill towards. And then we'll expand that and include ourselves in the loving kindness. And in loving kindness practice, there are three elements that we'll be working with. One element may be easier than the others for you, or you may find all three readily accessible. You don't have to make it too complicated. Work with seems easy with you. Again, we don't want to set up a struggle here. That's kind of the opposite of where we're wanting to go. We're wanting to go into some ease and spaciousness. So the three elements are, one, to bring to mind the benefactor or the lovable being. Often people do that by visualizing the person or lovable being, or somehow have another way to have a felt sense of that person be there. If visualization is not something that comes readily for you, I'll say for me personally, visualizing sometimes is a little bit difficult, and it feels like a little extra work to keep that visualization in my mind. But a friend of mine, for her, visualization is really easy, and she just likes to focus on that. So all of us, we can find our way with this. And the second element is to check in with any warm-heartedness, some ease or spaciousness we may feel. Kind of in the heart center is often where we would feel, but the heart center is kind of a vague description, and you can describe that any way that makes sense for you. And then the third element are the phrases. We'll begin by I'll say phrases, and you can repeat them silently in your mind. And in this way, the phrases are a way to help keep us connected to this wish for loving kindness and care, and a way to kind of keep coming back towards, and to help incline the mind towards of goodwill. Then maybe one last thing I'll say before we start is that we're creating the conditions for loving kindness to arise. No guarantee that loving kindness is going to arise, or goodwill. Sometimes what happens when we quiet our minds and just soften our hearts just a little bit, then maybe some of the stresses of the day, or maybe even thoughts or ideas of how what you're all the times you felt the opposite of loving kindness can come up. It's part of the practice. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong if you're feeling something other than loving kindness. Just encourage you to stay with the practice as best you can without getting into a struggle. And as we're going, I'll point out some things you can do if you're finding that you're in a little bit of a struggle, or finding yourself hating everybody instead of... Okay, so let's begin by taking an alert, upright posture that also has some ease in it. Then let's take three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps with the exhale, you can feel a certain amount of letting go, relaxation. And bringing the breath back to normal. And just trusting that the body knows how to breathe. Just allowing the body to breathe naturally. We'll do a little bit of checking in and see if there's some softening or relaxation that we can do, without making this a big project, but just letting go what can be readily let go of. We can check in with sensations in the face. We often hold tension here, around our eyes, the jaw. Checking in with the neck. And the shoulders. Letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. Checking in with the rest of the back. Is there a way that there can be a certain amount of more ease, increase in easefulness? We don't have to make it happen. Just seeing if we can allow some releasing. Check in with the chest. In the belly, it's another place we often hold tension. Our hips, you can feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body and feel the stability, the groundedness. Check in with our legs and the feet. And again, we can feel groundedness with our feet touching the ground. If you find yourself lost or confused or overwhelmed, you can come back to this sensation, sensations of feet on the ground. Check in with your arms. And hands. Allowing there to be some ease. If you find there are areas that aren't easeful, that are have knots and are tense, can you just let that be there? Just allow the tension to be there. And have some ease with the absence of ease. To help us settle, we'll do just a little bit of mindfulness of breathing here. So you can bring your attention to the sensations of breathing. The movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. You can choose one of those three areas, whichever is most available for you or most easeful for you, and rest your attention there. If you find yourself lost in thought, that doesn't have to be a problem. Thinking is what minds do. So just very simply bring your awareness, bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. if you discover that you're no longer have your attention on the sensations of breathing, you can just very simply begin again. There's no limit to how many times you can begin again. So before we begin loving-kindness practice, just an invitation that you can always come back to this practice, bringing your attention to the sensations of breathing. If you feel lost, or you feel confused, or you wake up in the middle of a thought and you're not sure what to do, or you can always come back to this practice, mindfulness of breathing. And then to begin loving-kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, whether it's a person, a benefactor, or maybe a kitten or a puppy or a baby, or you can start by checking in and see if there's a smile in the heart of somehow. When you think about this being. There may not be, and there may be. Then you can repeat silently in your mind these phrases to help support your intention of sending goodwill, care, love, warmth, respect to this person or lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify these phrases in a way that feels maybe more heartfelt, comfortable for you. And of course, they don't have to be in English. They can be whichever language is the language of your heart. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Check in again, the heart center. And if there is a sense of warmth, just allowing that to get as big as it would like to get. If it's helpful, you can bring to mind the benefactor again, or the lovable being. And then I'll be silent here for little bit, so you can go at your own pace. Then you can check in again with the benefactor or lovable being and see if there is some kind-heartedness, warmth in the heart center. And again, allow it to get bigger if it would like to. No guarantees, right, that this will create something to happen, make something to happen. Most often we see the benefits of this practice not during the meditation, but later in our daily life. So let's expand our circle of loving kindness, care, warmth, goodwill, to include ourselves. Some people like to visualize themselves. Some people find it easier to just have a felt sense of themselves. Some find it easier to visualize or imagine themselves as a young child, maybe even a toddler or an infant, and to send loving kindness to that version of yourself. Again, we don't want to get into a struggle here. So find a way that makes sense for you, that allows some warmth and softening towards yourself, if it's not already there. And again, we can say the phrases, "May I be safe." May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, we can check in and bring to mind or have a felt sense of ourselves if we find ourselves being disconnected from that. And check in with our heart center. And see if we can feel any warmth or softness, some letting go. If you find that there's something other than warmth, softness, letting go, can you have ease or warmth towards that and just allow it to be there without making it being a problem? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Then I'll be silent for a bit here, so you can go at your own pace. And then to end this meditation, bring your awareness to the feeling the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So now I'd like to open it up to some questions or comments. You may have questions or comments about the story I told in the beginning about Bhante Ji and his neighbor, or about the practice of loving kindness, benefactor and self, or perhaps the difference between mindfulness of breathing and loving kindness, or when to use both, or when to use either or both, or something like this, or maybe you'd just like to share something you experienced in this meditation.
So thank you for this. This is wonderful. I found myself choosing the benefactor, and then as we continued over and over, I kept bringing in another person and another person. And then, of course, the discursive mind started asking whether that was sort of diluting the effect of this, whether I should be just staying with the one person or woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, so let me ask you before you give the microphone away. So what was your experience when you brought in the other person? Was it like, oh yes, I want to send loving kindness to this person also? Or was it like, oh, I don't like that first person, I better
No. It was very positive. It was, and then, you know, every time another one would come to mind, I'd think, you are so lucky. There's just so many people out there.
So it felt
very good. And then finally, it was my grandson. And then there were tears rolling down my cheeks. So I didn't feel it in my heart. I felt it in tears. But that's often where I find that feeling.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And right, we're just trying to create the conditions for this softening and warmth of the heart, and it sounds like that's what unfolded for you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We don't have to follow the instructions exactly. So I think that's fantastic. Thank you. Yes, so can we pass the mic maybe down this way? How about here first? We'll start here and then...
Could you say a little bit more about the idea that it's not during the meditation, but afterwards, that this experience changes, and just that there must be something about just being here and thinking it and doing it prepares conditions.
Yeah, it's quite something that I've heard the story from many Dharma teachers, and I myself have had this experience that we may think that while we're meditating, we should be feeling often this cloud of gooey cloud of, you know, niceness, and sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. But what happens for me sometimes is even if my metta meditation feels kind of dry, I will notice that when I... For me, what I've noticed for myself, like when I notice I make a mistake, and then I will say to myself, it's okay, sweetheart. You know, something like that. Whereas, you know, before I would have been like, oh, I made a mistake. Why are you doing that? You shouldn't, you know, I would have gone on this little litany. So right? Just kind of like stopping that whole train of thought of beating oneself up, beating, which, you know, I think many of us have habits to do. I don't know if everybody does, but I imagine it's not uncommon. And I think there was the second microphone, right, that it went. I had the feeling, okay, it goes. I'll send it back here to Linda.
Thank you. I have spent the last couple of days at home because, not because there wasn't anything I could be doing, but because I have a cat that is in the process of, her life is coming to an end. And so my loving kindness was for her. And I got it all kind of mixed up with what I want. I want her to live forever. And, so I got it kind of mixed up with what I want. And then in the loving kindness toward myself, anyway, I found it hard to do because I have to associate an action with it sometime within, you know, pretty soon. With the loving kindness, I have to do something. And so I just wondered if there's any way to use meditation to bring a resolution or a comfort or some kind of peace around the decision and, you know, following through. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I feel touched by this. You know, our pets are our family members, right? And this is really hard. I want to honor and respect that. So often when we're doing loving kindness towards a being that is suffering, then it kind of morphs into compassion for a wish for their suffering to end. Sometimes we can use different types of phrases. May there be an end to your suffering. Or may you find ease, or something like that. And for you, yourself, also, you may wish to have some compassion for yourself, which can be hard to do. Sometimes we find all these different ways why we shouldn't have compassion for ourselves. So if you can find some kindness and recognize that this is really difficult, and to acknowledge that there probably isn't a way to make it be completely without difficulty. And maybe if we can just acknowledge that this is difficult. And then just as best we can, make some space for the difficulty. Allow, like, this is what difficulty feels like. This is what heartbreak feels like. And you may find it helpful to do some mindfulness. That is, like, just as I was saying, this is what heartbreak feels like, is to very often... It's very helpful to bring it to the body, where the body is here and now, whereas our mind often can be in stories. I wish it weren't this way. All these stories. So to feel this in your chest, perhaps, your gut, perhaps, how does this feel, this difficulty? And you may find that your mind wants to bounce off, but as gently as you can, kind of come back. So I've talked about two things. One is compassion. You can do a formalized compassion practice for your loved kitty and for yourself, as well as you can do some mindfulness practice. What does it really feel like to go through this difficulty? And that often can help us meet the truth of the moment. And when we stop wrestling with reality, instead just find some acceptance that, yes, this is very hard, there can be a certain more increase in ease when we put down the fighting with reality. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not saying this is easy. And then maybe the last thing I'll say is that, as I mentioned during the meditation, sometimes if you feel overwhelmed and lost and confused and you don't have access to anything I just said, sometimes just feeling your feet on the ground, or just feeling the pressure of the chair or the wherever you happen to be sitting or standing, sometimes that can be enough. And again, you may find yourself bouncing away, but as best you can just come back to that. So those are some ways to work with this and to honor and respect this process, and to recognize that it may take time and there may not be clarity. Sometimes there is clarity about what to do and when to do it, and sometimes there isn't. And can you find a way to just acknowledge your wish for clarity, and that there isn't any at that time? I know that you're not the only one that this is working with. I actually know two other people that have done loving kindness practice for their cats. May it support you. So we have time for one more question or comment. Yeah, so Joe.
I'm sitting here going, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, because I've got a couple things. But speaking of cats, Friday night I left my son's cat out, who's a house cat, but who's been outdoors before, and she has not returned.
Mm.
And so I feel, and now he's, what I'm struggling with now is his anger toward me, his stories that he's building on this, stories that I'm tempted to tell myself about it. And then I thought, okay, the best thing I can do is just go into action. So tonight I, put flyers out around the neighborhood. He did so yesterday, but I put them where he didn't put them and put signs up. And anyways, I'm struggling with that. And that's one of the, I think it's the storytelling part of that that is the trap for me, that I can make up any story about what may have happened to her. And likewise, and that causes suffering when I do that. It creates fear, it creates concern. Likewise, my son is doing the same thing, but on a much higher level. And, it's always you think the worst case. And in that, and it's just like the story you told about the one finger and then there's two fingers. The reality is oftentimes something completely different than what one is thinking, but in that thinking process, there's a tremendous amount of suffering that is generated from that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm dealing with this evening.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe you can find some compassion for yourself, too, as you recognize, oh, this is what suffering feels like when I get lost in stories and go into the worst-case scenario. Which, right, sometimes it's easy to do. Maybe we should be doing some compassion practices. Okay, it's 7:00. I'm happy to. I'll stay up here if anybody else has questions or comments they'd like to say. Otherwise, I wish you a beautiful evening. Thank you.